What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America, discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear: strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/ohio's time.
Stand back! There's a hurricane coming through!
Paul Kaharsky from PaulKaharsky.com with us here for the next hour in studio on Robbie and Rex Road, talking all things Tennessee Titans. A little extra PK time today. We love it. PK? Nick is really...
I have no control over my microphone.
Joe's got total control over his. PK has none.
I'm just sneaking in. Did I make it in time?
Well... Okay, so does he? Can he? You have the button. This is very simple.
The button's
PK.
Not on.
I don't think this button is attached.
Oh, you can't give him control, Nick?
No, I don't have any control. I don't want control. I'm opposite of you. I want to be put on by him.
You want Nick? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. You want Nick to handle it.
I have a long history of not controlling my mic.
If you have to sneeze or cough or whatever, you want him to. You gonna give him a little signal?
Turn away or a signal, but he never sees me signal. So
okay. All right.
Don't worry about me, Joe.
No,
I'm all right.
That's fine.
So, PK, I got to be honest with you. For the Vrabel press conference yesterday, I had full expectation of him getting up there and saying, yeah, you know, we'll see what Ryan looks like this week and how that progresses. And then tomorrow, when they've not really been on the field yet, yeah, we'll have to see how Ryan looks. And then by the time Friday comes around, maybe he names a starting quarterback.
Or then Diana Rossini reports.
Yeah, that too.
Saturday night.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think he realized that the gamesmanship wasn't worth the trade-off of the locker room knowing. And I applaud that. Sunlight on it is maybe more important. And Tannehill knowing is also important. You know, the guy, as we said, has done a lot for the organization. I've given Joe a hard time over his respect for this season, but I wrote a piece. I mean, Tannehill is very undervalued by the fan base here. And I understand.
Oh, Tannehomer. Okay.
I understand. There's before and after Cincinnati.
Yep.
His after Cincinnati is 15 points worse passer rating. The organization's gone completely downhill since then. And if you're going to look at him and think about him, unfortunately for him, the Cincinnati game is his defining moment as a Titan. But 36% of his games, I think, in the regular season were come from behind fourth quarter wins, 14 of 38 games. I mean, he provided some really high quality football for Titans fans in what you guys were talking about when I was driving in. In three really good years of a window that Joe pointed out wasn't long enough, but was a great window. And a reliable window where they were going to play well. It was keyed around Derrick Henry. So was Steve McNair's era. It was Eddie George's era. And Steve's untimely passing kind of flipped that. And people think it was Steve McNair's team. It wasn't Steve McNair's team. It was Eddie George's team. And this is Derrick Henry's team. But Ryan Tannehill was very good for a lot of it. Very efficient. They built it. People are critical of Ryan Tannehill because he's, you know, quote unquote, just a play action quarterback and needed Derek and all of that. Well, listen, if a guy's not elite and nobody's going to say that Ryan Tannehill was elite, then what you're supposed to do is build a system that features his talents. And Tannehill, for some reason, always got bashed nationally for that. Whereas locally, I think most people are smart enough to say, hey, this is excellent use of Ryan Tannehill. The Titans maximized him, and he thrived in it, and it was a great marriage, and he deserves a lot of credit for a lot of entertaining Sunday afternoons for this market, and hats off to him. And I expect this afternoon he'll be graceful about what's happening now and very complimentary of Will Levis.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's well said. I look at his tenure overall, and we were talking about this earlier. The Cincinnati game definitely is the defining moment, as you put it. I mean, in a three-month span, you've got the Cincinnati game and then the trading of A.J. Brown. And it's tiresome to keep going back to the A.J. Brown trade, but you start to wonder about, like, what could have been had you just not made that one move if you're the Titans.
And as Joe said, I mean, you stack on top of the A.J. Brown move, the bad draft, the bad draft. I mean, they're getting nothing out of top three picks, very little out of top three picks over a span of three or four drafts.
What about Dennis here? Says Tannehill's like Bill Buckner, a really, really good player. Most people remember for his worst moment. The Buckner moment is an all-timer.
It's not like one pick. It's the overall game.
Sure.
There's something there.
I don't hate the comparison, though.
There's something there.
Yeah. I mean, it's that's the one thing you look back on. It was when we were talking about the touchdowns earlier. It is wild, and I think this goes to what we're talking about of kind of the deconstruction of this roster. 33 touchdown passes for Tannehill in 2020. He has combined in three seasons since then for 36. I mean, that's a heck of a swing there.
Yeah, I need to go look at the Kansas City AFC Championship game. I don't think he was outstanding in that game, which would say three.
He was early.
Yeah, but overall, three playoff games where he didn't get it done. His last three playoff games, he didn't get it done.
Yeah, we talked about that yesterday.
The Baltimore game here, nobody got it done on offense. Arthur Smith had a bad game. Derrick Henry had a bad game. Ryan Tannehill had a bad game. Everybody had a bad game.
Yeah, the Chiefs game, again, they scored in their first three possessions. It was 17-7. It was like, the Chiefs can't stop them.
Yeah, all right. So two and a half games.
But in the end, they got overwhelmed and they couldn't. That day, they stopped Derrick Henry after a good start. He had 19 for 69. Tannehill, 21 for 31, 209, two touchdowns, no picks, 108 rating.
Yeah, right,
he played
that.
Well.
But in the second half, they couldn't get anything going.
Yeah, I mean, in the second half, they scored one touchdown.
Also, more broadly, they weren't good enough to beat Kansas City.
Right.
Yeah. And they were a tired team, third game on the road, all of that.
They needed someone like Jadeveon Clowney.
They did.
That's basically my takeaway after that game.
Yes, they did.
And they got him.
So, Will Levis, PK, you were there in Pittsburgh for his second performance. Obviously, it's his team now. It's going to be his show the rest of the way, provided that he stays healthy. What did you think of Levis in Pittsburgh, and what do you think of what we could continue to see from him now that he's the guy and we know that he's the starter as the Titans move forward here?
Look, I mean, he's shown the ability to throw deep when things are there, which is, a fantastic quality to have. All of this time during the play-action era with Henry, nobody's backed off of Henry. Now, maybe with Henry slowing down, they might back off a little bit, but the number one reason they haven't backed off is because there's no threat to beat them over the top. And we've always looked for the threat. Oh, well, if they could just have a speed guy there, whatever. Well, maybe the threat now is the arm. It's in the arm of the quarterback instead of in the legs of the receivers. And so that's something interesting to watch here because it can clearly connect deep. He's got the moxie. Here's my fear. I'm exaggerating here. What if he throws two bad passes in a row? Because if he throws two bad passes in a row, they might shut it down. Now, Andre Dillard can make two bad plays in a row, and they don't shut him down. He's out there for the third play. But Will Levis, if he makes two bad passes in a row, he's got to hand it off to Tajay Spears. So I'm a little worried about that, the conservatism, because they're determined to play games in the teens. They don't want to go score 30 by nature. They need to let go of that. They need to let the kid throw the third pass.
So do you are
or
you
or the first pass on the 4 minutes?
Yes.
So do you think they need to get away from Derrick Henry? Is that what you're saying?
I think they need to let Will Levis throw it to get first downs or touchdowns. I don't think they need to get away from Derrick Henry. I mean, I think that Spears is an electric player. He's not doing electric things, really. Right now, he didn't do anything in Pittsburgh. They gave him the ball on two big carries, thinking, well, if he pops a 19 yarder here, we'll take it.
He got three runs
all season over 19 yards, so it's a prayerful call. Like,
so how
we'll take a
it?
Bonus touchdown if we get it, but basically, we want a field goal here, which I hate. And then the four calls on the 4 minute drive are just awful, awful, awful conservative.
Yeah, you can't.
They can't be conservative like that against teams like Pittsburgh or Tampa Bay, which is a similar low scoring, want to keep it down in a 2016 range game.
Which is what we'll see Sunday.
And if they do it again, that's malpractice by Tim Kelly and Mike Vrabel.
Yeah, I
mean, what's the risk?
I agree on that. Like, first of all,
oh my God, you turned it over down deep in their end. Well, let's see that defense that you think is good that doesn't touch the quarterback 3 out of 4 weekends, by the way. And I'll transition into that. You can keep thinking that you have a good defense and a run-stopping defense. You don't. Like, this isn't an aberration that you're not stopping the run and not touching the quarterback. That's who you are. You're a team that doesn't touch the quarterback and doesn't stop the run anymore. You used to do that.
If Zach Moss is Le'Veon Bell, what was Jaylen Warren the other night?
Marshall Faulk?
Maybe so.
Jerome Bettis. I don't know. You were there. PK, did anybody make an amazing comparison about Jaylen Warren after the game?
Backed off of that. But I think Jeffrey Simmons, I don't want to say he's in denial, but like you bring him what Mike Vrabel has said for 3 out of 4 weeks.
Yep.
You're not winning, and he can't bring himself to address that. Now, he's getting some one-on-ones, but he's also, there's this thing, and his position coach, Terrell Williams, doesn't believe that a guy who's doubled can win. He's said that time and time again. If you're doubled, you can't win. I don't know if he's never watched Aaron Donald or you know, all-time great Warren Sapp, all-time great defensive tackle.
Well, Jeff Simmons has won against double teams. Absolutely.
Right. But Terrell Williams, if you ask him, he'll talk today. I'll ask him again. He'll say, if you're doubled, you can't win. Other guys have to win. Well, nobody's winning. I'm sure Jeff gets one-on-ones occasionally, but Jeff is allowed to wreak havoc against a double. I know it's sacrilege in this town and that I'll get tortured on Twitter. Jeff Simmons is not of enough influence right now, and he's the guy that needs to lead those four. Arden Key, you know, the stats say they're getting more pass pressure when he's on the field than when he's not, but, you know, is he – I haven't heard much from him since he was making 7 sacks at training camp practice. We know that Harold Landry's not himself yet, and there's no reason to expect the switch is coming on. And Autry, you know, his role is reduced. He's still good at times.
No, they're not very good.
These four guys are hugely overrated right now. They're not living up to their billing at all. And everything's keyed around that. So anything that's going wrong behind them is going wrong because of them.
We'll have more with Paul Kaharsky from PaulKaharsky.com coming up next. Take your thoughts on the Titans as well. 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser, Paul Kaharsky from PaulKaharsky.com with us, talking all things Tennessee Titans. Taking your thoughts, 615-737-1025. 1025. Let's go to our 1025 The Game phone line. Welcome in Ed from New Jersey. Ed, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Good morning, guys.
What's going on?
I get that the hope is way different than when Mariota was benched for Tannehill, you know, because you had to now realize that the guy you once had hope in it wasn't the answer. But my question is, on the field, which is a bigger leap when we went from Mariota to Tannehill, or the way Tannehill's playing now to Levis? I know the small sample size, but what do you think on the field impact?
Bigger leap, how?
I understand the question.
Edward explain
just,
it.
Just what he brings, ceiling, potential, different offense. What do you think the impact, how do you measure that impact from where we went from Mariota to Tannehill to Levis?
Well, Tannehill was taken over I think a better situation. In hindsight, we could say that for sure.
Yeah.
And he was experienced. We didn't
know it at the time because they were 2-4.
Their offensive line
looked terrible. And Arthur Smith, everybody was like, Arthur Smith should be fired. So we didn't know it. But we knew the potential of like the offensive line and A.J. Brown and Jonnu Smith and Corey Davis and Derrick Henry compared to now.
This team does not have that. And Levis looks promising and all of that, but he doesn't have the wily experience to rely on that Tannehill had. So this team is not going to take off and turn into an AFC championship contender the way that team did. This team hopefully is going to get Levis. You know, it hopes to win some games. It's got a soft schedule. It's got 5 division games left. It can do some damage. But the main hope now, they're not saying it in the locker room. They're not saying in the huddle, all right, guys, let's get Will some experience and get ourselves in a good position. But the number one thing that should come out of this is that Will Levis, you know, the moxie and the skill set is refined, and you feel really good about him heading into training camp next year, where you're in a position where you get things to surround him with and feel terrific heading into next year about your quarterback situation.
Yeah, as the caller pointed out there, one difference is this is when Tannehill took over, it was you're giving up on the highly drafted hope of the future, and now you're making way for the highly drafted, not as highly drafted, but still highly drafted hope of the future. So there's a totally different feel in terms of what it means big picture long term, right?
Yes.
But, yeah, it will. I'm quite confident in saying it will not be the same just steady, boom, here they go, and they all take off.
And when was the Tannehill contract?
It was right after that season?
So Tannehill got big bucks right after that season, which has a big influence on your cap. Levis is dirt cheap in quarterback terms, a second-round quarterback. So they've got almost $100 million in cap space, plus a quarterback that is not going to take up a big percentage of their cap at all. This is absolutely ideal if you can get, going forward, good quarterback play cheap. So the next 3 years, they are fiscally in fantastic shape. They're not personnel-wise in fantastic shape. There are not as many solutions in free agency as people imagine because teams re-sign their good players at a higher rate than ever, I think. Do you guys agree with that?
Agree.
Particularly at left tackle, at elite cornerback, at elite wide receiver, which is what they need, which are the premier positions. But if they're smart shoppers, they overpay a little bit to get guys. They can put together things if they draft well and have – great free agency plus push money forward. They're in excellent fiscal shape.
But one thing I will say, and I'm with you, I don't expect all of a sudden that the team is going to take off and we're going to see it to that level that we saw with Tannehill. I do think that there will be, with Levis and just the arm talent that he brings, I think there will be more plays that you look at and you just go, wow, what a throw. What a throw by Levis.
Yeah, I agree with that. Now,
there are going to be some mistakes along the way too, but from the arm talent that he brings to the table, there's going to be more times this year where you look at it like, good Lord, how many people are making that throw?
Yeah, I agree. There are going to be those moments. You know, but the thing about what happened at the Kansas City game was brought up earlier.
Yeah.
I think especially that game, that home game that Tannehill won. I mean, after a few games, it was like, my God, there's a big difference between Tannehill and Mariota. I mean, Tannehill averaged 9-6 an attempt that year.
9-8, I think.
Or whatever it was. It was like the combination of yards of attempt and completion percentage were the best since Joe Montana in 1989 with that team that beat the Broncos by a million in the Super Bowl.
Like, Sammy Ball is the only other guy that did it.
Who was also a great punter, by the way. And smoked darts on the sideline like Vrabel, for the record. But, yeah, I mean, like, so back then – I don't know that Vrabel does that on the sideline.
I was just going to say. I think you're bringing something into the stadium that occurs
it's probably more,
outside.
It's more halftime.
Yeah, it's a no-smoking stadium.
But, but like, so like the consistent, like, oh, this is what a good quarterback's supposed to look like then, I don't know that we're going to see now.
I agree with that.
But I am with you that we're going to see, we already saw the NWI pass. Like, Tannehill's never made that throw probably in his career, right?
Correct.
Tannehill's made great throws. He's got arm talent as a –
Yeah, like, made that one.
Yeah, there's some things Levis will do. I think even the Pittsburgh game, there are a couple throws you're like, ooh.
Ryan
that's
Clark,
a little different.
Or somebody on ESPN said when they were reviewing, and I don't watch this much, I just stumbled onto it, when they were reviewing that throw by Levis, it might have been Orlovsky, said, that's the throw everybody makes at their pro day. And you say, that looks fantastic.
Right.
But, you know, it's
do
against,
it on Sunday.
It's against air, and nobody makes that throw in the league. You know, it's unrealistic. And he made it realistic. I mean, that throw is, if there's a Will Levis legend, it will start with that throw.
What's your concern level with Burks at this point? Both on the field not being productive, but now also with a second concussion in a row from last season to this season looks bad.
Yeah, not playing this weekend based on what Vrabel said yesterday. Can't get on the field. When he's on the field, they can't get him the ball. I mean, the least objectionable of the three runs in a row was an end around to him for 5 yards in Pittsburgh. And they have to run that play to find a way to get the ball in his hands. I mean, look, you're tired of bringing up the A.J. Brown thing. It's a spinoff of the A.J. Brown thing, but they thought that, Treylon Burks was going to offset the loss of A.J. Brown. Treylon Burks has done nothing to offset the loss of A.J. Brown. So in exchange for A.J. Brown, they got a big hole. You know? And if DeAndre Hopkins hadn't gotten cut and landed in their lap and they outbid people for him and he decide, you know, he's friends with Derrick Henry and all of these magical things aligned for them and they're laughing at us on TV about not taking a wide receiver, which should be forbidden going forward, behavior like that to your fan base.
You're grounded, says PK.
You know, I mean, if they didn't have Will Levis right now, what would the hope of this franchise be?
Well, they'd be in position to draft Marvin Harrison Jr. So
you think they'd draft Marvin Harrison Jr.?
I don't know.
You think this team that's allergic to wide receivers and in need of a left tackle would draft Marvin Harrison Jr.? Newsflash.
They drafted Treylon Burks in the first round.
Not third or fourth.
I don't know, man. Vrabel's got the connections at Ohio State, man.
Dude, if they draft anything but a left tackle, I mean, if they're in position for Marvin Harrison Jr., they should either still draft a left tackle or they should trade out of it to draft a left tackle.
Yeah. I don't know. I think I might draft Marvin Harrison Jr.
Well, answer your question, though. If they didn't have Levis, what would the hope be? Nothing right now. I mean, the hope would be, can you be bad enough to get Drake May or something like that?
Exactly. Yeah. We'd just be talking about the draft. Right.
Yeah. Thank God for Will Levis.
Yes. I mean, I hate this. Well, the thing is, Levis playing this well. That's the thing. Think about before he got on the field, that was half the talk anyway, right? It's like, this team stinks, tank for Caleb. At least we can stop that, right?
I think so.
I think that's over, isn't it?
I would hope so. More with Paul Kuharsky from paulkuharsky.com coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Join Jared Stillman, Chris Sanders, and Derek Mason at Twin Peaks in Madison this Sunday from 9:30 to 11:30 for our NFL pregame show. They'll break down the Titans Week 10 matchup against the Buccaneers, give you the latest updates before the game. Our NFL pregame show presented by Parman Tractor and Equipment and Beast Unleashed. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexroad, Paul Kuharsky, Nick Keys are here with you on this Wednesday morning talking all things Tennessee Titans. PK, what did you make of the report from the Boston Globe over the weekend that apparently Robert Kraft really loves him some Mike Vrabel and views him as the, quote, home run replacement for Bill Belichick, should it come to that?
Couple things here. Who would leak this to the Boston Globe and to what benefit? I can't see how Patriots brass would benefit at all from this being out. So I find it faulty in that regard.
Okay.
If Robert Kraft were to call Amy Adams Strunk and say, hey, I want to give you, knock your socks off with an offer here for Mike Vrabel, this should ring an alarm bell for Amy Adams Strunk, who should say to herself, I would say to herself, here's the best owner of the current generation in terms of success. He's consistently in the Hall of Fame conversation. He's going to be in the Hall of Fame. And he wants my coach for a high-value pick. Maybe that means this guy's super valuable.
Yeah.
He needs a quarterback, and he's potentially giving me the pick he could get the quarterback with for my coach. I ought to step back and consider what that means about the value of my coach. I don't think this scenario is happening, certainly not with the kind of pick the Patriots have right now.
Yeah.
I think fans are overreactive to this, valuing a pick, which the Titans consistently botch, over a coach who, quite frankly, if Will Levis looks good right now and is on a nice track, I think you should value the fact that he looks good right now and is on a nice track. And you know what a young quarterback needs who's on a nice track? Consistency and not a new playbook. And three new voices in his head and all of that, which would set him back. I know people are down on Vrabel. I understand why they're down on Vrabel. But I wrote this in my mailbag this weekend. Once you have a coach who's shown that he could win, sticking it out with that coach is almost always the best path than going with unknown and changing and changing again and changing again. And you look at the teams that change coaches, usually it doesn't give you what you want. You might find the miracle guy who's better. But if Robert Kraft values this guy the way this report indicates, which I'm not buying, there's real meaning in that.
Okay, a couple things on that. First of all, I hear what you're saying. I will play devil's advocate on the voices because, as you know, in this league, if you do have success and Will Levis plays well and all that, then Tim Kelly gets plucked and then Charles London steps in and then he keep going and then Charles London gets plucked.
Well, so, not right away.
Well, yeah, but I mean, like, that is – I mean, that's the argument for having the offensive coach who it's his baby and he's got a head coaching job now, so he's not going anywhere. So there's your consistency.
I agree with that entirely, but we know how Vrabel works. And so – Tony Dews is there to be next, right? He's got lined up. If Kelly went, London would go up. If London went, Kelly's still there. Odds of both of them going
right now.
Low.
He's got some. Yeah, he's got some reserves. Yeah, yeah. Okay. The other thing I need. So, what are you saying about the report then? Because it's a Boston Globe. It says source close.
Two sources close to the
close
Patriots.
Close to the Patriots.
Was the phrasing.
Okay, so give me your – so what are you trying to say here, Inspector Clouseau, about the report?
I'll just say I've talked to people up there that don't think it holds water.
Okay. So where's it coming from?
I don't know. Okay. Well, I'm good at tracking sources here. I'm not good at tracking sources.
We talked about this the other day. The phrasing is interesting. It's two sources close to the Patriots. Is that with the Patriots, or is that what is close to the Patriots?
I'll tell you what should happen.
Are we buying this report if he wasn't up there for the Hall of Fame thing recently, where everybody's saying, oh, he and Kraft are negotiating this sitting side by side while they're watching
the game? I would consider it just because of the connection that's there anyway, but – certainly, that's the first thing I thought
also,
of. Was
also,
him being
here's another factor that I would put in. Where did Robert Kraft find his last coach? On a scrap heap, right?
Yeah.
He's got Gerard Mayo on his staff, who's regarded highly, generally
speaking.
To be
fair, in the 90s, I smoked Marlboro Reds too, but yeah, go ahead.
Right. I mean, I would think McDaniels is dead now and that he distanced himself from somebody like that. But I think he can find himself a good head coach free.
Sure.
Outside of money.
I'll tell you what I think from a journalism standpoint, when I read this, and I know this is source guessing, which I say I don't do, but I'm just saying, like, the way I read it, I said, okay, two sources and the phrasing kind of separates them from the Patriots.
Bon Jovi is
so
one.
To me No, to me, one of the sources has to be Kraft. That in my opinion.
I agree.
It has to be.
Or
you don't write it.
Or his son.
Yeah, the Kraft family. Or you do not write it. And then you do two, and you say close to kind of separate it to try to protect him. And if it's not that, then why the hell did you write that? So that's – and I have no idea, and I don't really know Ben.
So why is Kraft –
I don't know. But that's how I look at it as a reporter. The way that's phrased, one of those sources – the source better be Kraft.
But I think then – the only reason Kraft would let Volan write it is to take the temperature on
exactly.
On
I mean, a
trial
balloon.
Belichick.
Yeah, it's a trial balloon. That's what I looked at. Is a trial balloon. Well, how's the fan base react to this? I mean, that happens. And again, it's funny because you know I was talking with Gentry about this, and in the college world, it happens all the time.
Right.
People put these out to check what a fan base thinks about this or that. So yes, that's why.
How do we think the Boston fan base has reacted to it? I haven't.
That's a good question. I don't know.
Gauge that.
I mean, most of what I've seen
a year ago,
excited about it.
A year ago, like exactly a year ago, before like they plummeted, I think it would have been giddy, right?
I think
like,
it still
yes,
largely
please,
is.
Please, please, please. You think it largely
I
is?
I think it's still largely
there
is.
There you go.
Okay. If I'm a Titans fan, I would hold back from the get a pick and think. Here's a fan base that just watched this team win how many Super Bowls? Six?
Yep.
And they want him.
So what would
they want him.
So
maybe we should want him.
I mean, I hear you there. So is there a package that's realistic? Obviously, if the Patriots come up and offer you five first-rounders, then whatever. But is there a package that's realistic where you'd consider this if you're Amy Adams Strunk and the Titans?
Well, present it to me.
If they offered two first-round picks, would you do it?
I mean, you have to think about it, but, you know, what's your...
And one of them is real high.
What's your plan to replace him?
Yeah, it's a great question.
I don't have a tremendous amount of faith in – look, the GM and the head coach both report to Amy Adams Strunk now. What's Rand Carthon done in his time here to be the guy hiring a head coach that reports to him? I don't think it should work that way.
I think
she hired the GM independent of Mike. So is she then going to hire the coach independent of Rand?
Well, I think you've hit on something. You know, it's early and they've been bad on offense for the most part, and the red zone offense is terrible. But Tim Kelly is the answer, right? I mean,
he's not the
answer. Well, I'm just saying, internally, if you believe that, then it changes the discussion, right? Look, we'll see what happens because he's obviously like Leva's got to keep playing well. The offense has got to be good. But it will not, it will not take long if those things happen for people to start looking at Tim Kelly.
Does he strike you as CEO?
I think he could be pretty good. Yeah, I do. I think Tim Kelly, I mean, again, like, look around the league at some of the guys who are successful. They're not all like the Vrabel type. You know what I mean? I mean, actually, like the nerdy offensive guy type. Works out pretty. I mean, Mike McDaniel, you know, just
Mike McDaniel.
He just
way
solved a quadratic
in front
equation.
Of a microphone than Tim Kelly.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, there's plenty of coaches. Okay, how good is Kyle Shanahan in front of a microphone? I mean,
I think Kyle Shanahan's pretty good on a telephone.
Oh, well, sure, but I'm just saying. Look, I'm just saying
texting.
Yeah. That's right. I'm just saying, Tim Kelly, that's the discussion because he would be it, right? And maybe they think how you do, but I promise you, like, it will not be long. We are not far. We're a couple steps away from people looking at Tim Kelly.
I think there's a good chance, better than 50-50, that they would butcher it. Butcher it.
Well, that's the thing. Would you go with Tim Kelly or would Amy then go look outside the organization?
Or like you said, or Rand.
Or Rand.
Yeah. I mean, it should be Rand if this happens, right? I mean, it should be like, Rand, go hire your coach.
In 1 year, he goes from split power to hiring a coach.
That's what happens when you get a GM job in the NFL. Am I right?
I think
what I'm doing with my hands.
The chances of this happening.
I'm not a big fan of that scenario.
I don't think are very high. Like, it's one thing to present the offer, which I'm not convinced that the Patriots would even try to make this trade. It's one thing to present it.
How could the Patriots trade a first-round pick that could be their quarterback?
They need a quarterback. That's the thing. Like, if it's happening.
If I give you the scenario, you could draft a high quarterback and have any coach on the open market, or you could have Mike Vrabel and draft a second-round quarterback. What are you doing?
If the season ended today, the Patriots would have the fifth overall pick.
Yeah.
And that's probably
a third quarter, at least Penix.
Yeah, and look, as bad as they are, that could end up being number three overall, number two.
They're not trending up.
They're bad.
Yeah, no, I mean, I would probably choose the quarterback. Quarterback's the most valuable thing.
Exactly.
Look, I get the idea of if you believe Rabel's your coach for the next 15 years, there's something to be said for that, right?
Something to be said for Amy believing that he's her coach for the next 15 years. How about the report? I didn't see who it's from. That Belichick is in trouble if he loses in Germany.
I think that was Ben Volin also.
If they lose this game, that he.
What if he fired? I mean, there's no way he'd fire him in Germany. He's but is he going to let him sit on the plane and fire him back in Foxborough?
You can find your own way back to the United States.
Tarmac in Frankfurt what a way to end.
I'm just getting ready for the flight.
We're on to CB.
On to the flight.
Yeah, on to JFK.
615-737-1025, our phone number. More with Paul Kuharsky from paulkuharsky.com coming up next. This week's Nashville's Best Deals, West Coast Taco Shop. Try some of the best California-style Mexican food at West Coast Taco Shop on Murfreesboro Pike in Nashville. Their burritos, nachos, quesadillas, and a variety of tacos are delicious. You can go to thegamenashville.com/deals to get half off a $20 gift card while supplies last. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Tune in to 94.9 The Fan this Saturday for Vanderbilt football. Commodores kicking off at 11 a.m. on the road against South Carolina with pregame beginning at 9:30. Coverage also available on the 94.9 The Fan app and at 94.9thefan.com. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road. Paul Kuharsky, Nick Keyser here with you on this Wednesday morning talking all things Titans. PK, the secondary for the Titans. So they've been without Roger McCreary the last 2 weeks. Looks like he's going to be back in there on Sunday against Tampa. So that's good news. Sean Murphy Bunting gets banged up in the Pittsburgh game. We'll see what his status looks like. But the secondary right now, Christian Fulton, I think, actually has responded pretty well the last few weeks. But other than that, it's been a rough go.
But he's done a nice job. Yep. But Trey Avery and Eric Garrar can't be out there, really. And so Sean Murphy Bunting's thumb is maybe the biggest injury we're looking at right now outside of Burks. And you know, we know Burks isn't going this weekend. So that thumb's a big deal right now. And Murphy Bunting's been pretty steady. So with Fulton playing better, McCreary, I think, has been, you know, one of the few guys that's gotten better.
He's an important return if he's back.
You know, if he could be whole back there, that's a lot better. Because, you know, that safety spot, you know, Byard's ability to play deep hasn't really been replaced. They got a lot of box-type guys. Molden's better, close to the line of scrimmage. Edmonds is a box kind of guy.
Who didn't especially look good doing that Thursday.
Yeah, so an injury there in the back end depletes you pretty quickly.
It's a bad defensive team right now.
Really?
It is. And it's
– and we all thought it was going to be a good defense.
Well, they keep getting run on. That's the thing to me that, you know, they've been so good against the run for the last 2 years. I mean, they're number one in the league the last 2 years. And – they just keep getting gashed in the running game. And, you know, Vrabel's answer on that, if I'm a Titans fan, kind of scares me yesterday because it's like, it's not one thing. It's different things all across the board. And at this point, it kind of is what it is. Like, they'll have, I'm sure, weeks moving forward where they do a good job of stopping the run, and they did a pretty decent job against Atlanta stopping the run. But right now, they're a bad defense across the board.
Yeah, and – He's talked about it a lot. He's been asked about it a lot, and he talks about the variables, and there are variables. There's different things. But ultimately, if you win consistently up front, then a lot of those variables disappear.
Yep.
And so the bad fit by a linebacker doesn't matter anymore, or a bad angle by a safety. You know, it comes down to that. They're not winning up front like they used to. So why is that? Why are they not winning up front with these guys that they've invested so much in?
I think they're not as good as – Titans thought they are, as they think they are, that they're not as good.
I mean, Tyrre Tart, I thought, made a huge difference in the Atlanta game.
Yeah.
I thought, like, okay, you can see 93 matters, right? And he's over there pushing Brave like, ah, Tyrre. Yeah. But then, I don't know, last game it just went away. I mean, Pittsburgh hasn't been able to do anything on anyone, and they just ran all over him.
Yeah, I mean, it's incredibly concerning.
Pittsburgh is kind of doing what the Titans used to do. I mean, their score differential is ridiculous, but they're finding ways to win. You know, you guys kind of mentioned the COVID game, and I was thinking, wow, you know, this team, Vrabel, find a way to win, all of that stuff. Just the roster, I still think it's primarily a roster issue, and Vrabel is a find-a-way-to-win guy, and he can't find a way to win with what they have anymore because there's just so many holes.
What do you think about the Tampa game in terms of you got Mike Evans out there who's playing pretty well? I mean, him and I know Tampa's lost four in a row. The Mayfield to Evans connection's been pretty good this year. You don't worry as much about Tampa in the running game, but, I mean, look, you hadn't worried about Pittsburgh all that much in the running game either. What do you think of the matchup for the Titans on Sunday?
I mean, Tampa's beatable. They're not very good. They fall in the same exact basket as the Titans.
Yep.
So are the Titans going to beat a team that's in the same basket as they are on the road this season? Well, here's a chance. Go do it. Create some stuff for Levis. You know, block for him. Get a little bit of separation and you know, throw over the red zone. That's my thing. Yeah,
avoid the red zone.
Get out of the red zone.
It's like avoid the noid.
Get to the 21 and throw right over it. We saw that work against Atlanta. Obviously, teams are going to try like hell to defend that and throw off the timing and everything. And I really think, you know, you hope Hubbard's fine. He's on track to overcome all the obstacles of returning from a concussion. And, you know, pray for Dylan Radins.
Hey, you want a little Stilly versus Pauly?
Sure.
All right. He says your Kraft wants Mike Vrabel, and there's no way he could be wrong. Take is ridiculous. You think Kraft knows about Craig Aukerman and the warts Vrabel has as a coach? Bleep no. He just saw an AFC tie game and remembers it was a player. There's no way Kraft knows more about your coach than you do. Your response?
I'm kind of missing what he's saying.
He's saying that you're like Kraft has a very, you know, minimal understanding knowledge of all the warts of Vrabel as a coach, whereas here they know his warts as a coach. Aukerman, you and Stilley are unified on Aukerman.
I think Kraft is pretty damn smart.
I would hope so.
You don't win all those Super Bowls, Jared, by not knowing things about a coach you would want to hire.
But maybe he just watched his first tape.
If you think Kraft is just thinking, oh, Vrabel, that number 50 who was
he
caught all those touchdown passes for us? Oh, yeah, I'll take him. Yeah, he looks good as a coach. Let's give up the number 5 pick and go get him. Yeah, yeah.
What about Super Brady? Bowl,
I'm a little blinded by the glare of all those Lombardi trophies. Yeah, 50. Give me him.
Yeah. What about the guy who wore 12 for them? He could be the coach.
Yeah. Kraft. Who was that guy again?
Kraft. Very smart.
I gave him an island under the table.
Yeah. Very smart. I've had a conversation with Robert Kraft, so I can confirm that he's as smart as he appears to be.
That's a nice humble brag there for you in the show. Yeah.
I'm sure Jared's talked to him a lot. Don't block the box. Be sure to lock your locks, especially if you live anywhere near Jared Stillman.
The show's not over. What are you doing?
I don't know. It seemed like you were wanting to get down. I've been here a long time. Sure. Yo, my 90
minutes. It's been here for 90
minutes.
Blurt things out randomly.
My 90 minutes has been long.
I want the sausage and peppers sub.
I don't know what that is.
Like you're getting,
you
it's like
bailed
you,
me out.
It's like
getting,
you as Uncle you Junior.
You're
on
getting
Sopranos.
Progressively more Bostonian with each passing week.
Coach Vrabel, if you just wore a whistle in the locker room, could I film you?
Did you ever do this, Joe? I've got like 5 stories reported that whistle story's still towards the front.
When do I get to read the whistle stories?
Some of the stories are so far pushed back that I'm not going to write them. I have a story about what guys do during special teams in practice, and it's buried so far on my tape and stuff. I'm never writing it.
Yeah, I'd ignore it.
You ever do that?
Oh, yeah. I'd shelve that one.
Yeah. Thanks. But the whistle. I'm not looking for your editorial advice.
Make sure you don't print it.
I want the whistle story. We all deserve the whistle story, do we not?
Is there a timeline?
There's no timeline.
Okay, at any time.
I mean, today, when Tannehill's talking about his tenure, but what do you think about whistles, though, Ryan? What do you think about that, huh?
I mean, this is maybe the worst impression in the history of impressions.
All right, I'll be better.
And I've heard some terrible impressions.
I'll be better now.
I happen to enjoy the heck out of it. I think it's great. Keep it going.
I don't know. Does the accent get worse in North Boston? Like, where geographically, the tectonic plates are shifting.
I'm trying to make you from Southie.
But I'm from New Jersey.
That does it for us today on Robbie and Rex Road.
I already said my thing. Go back 3 minutes.
Yeah, rewind. We'll be back tomorrow.
Put your towels on, everybody.
Jason Big Joe up next. This is 102.5,
106.3. Ryan Tannehill is very impressive. I just asked Joe.
2 touchdowns.
What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America, discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear. Strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/ohio's time.